Join me, Aya Kwai, with Ubuntu Voices, Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. on 3CR. Ubuntu is a Zulu word, meaning I am here because you are. Ubuntu celebrates the positive contribution African Australians make to our communities in music, academia, the arts, and everything in between. Come with me on a journey. Ubuntu Voices, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m.
None of us are free, one of us is chained, none of us are free.
None of us are free, for sure. And this is a very powerful song from Solomon Burke, None of Us Are Free, If One of Us is Chained. And as you can tell today what is happening, and that is mean a lot, that song. It should be an anthem. And I just want to say thank you, and every woman out there, welcome to the International Women Day, which is celebrating the women who did amazing work in the past and present. And I honor the people of this land, and my respect to them, allowed us to practice the art, whatever we do in this land. So thank you to Indigenous people and the past and the people alive today. And so we're going to have an amazing International Women Day. There are so many people celebrate the women today, as you could hear all over the communities, radio, and outside. So I am just going to start with this an amazing woman from the south of Sudan, the woman actually we look up to. She sang about struggling for a country and also to empowering the people. And here she is. She passed away in 2012.
Ah,
That is an amazing Teresa Nyan call, and that song is a very powerful song. It said, telling the boys, the young men, respect the girls, respect them. And also talking about being in a foreign land, she said, when you are a stranger in a foreign land, try to respect one another, try to live together, and because the difference between when you grown up and when you're young, so the mind is not the same. So when you're young, you sing differently, and when you're older, you have to. So it's a beautiful message to the people of South Sudan. And to everyone in the world, we need to respect. Women need to respect. And there is so much happening you could hear when you're on a train and you heard young male talking, is swearing and all that kind of disrespect for women. It's heartening because it's not really a good thing, you know, to have. You can't tell that to your mother. And if you can't do that to your mother, don't tell it to another mother, because they're just like your mother. That is where you came from. And I think, where do the young people get it from? They get it from adults. And if we want to see a role models, if we want to be a role models, that is a thing that you have to consider. And having said that, I got an amazing people with me here. I got Susanna Manzuri Watts, and an amazing young South Sudanese woman, Mary. They are here to talk about. Susanna has been working with young women for a very long time in Collingwood and Fitzroy, and in Collingwood particular. And I think she been very, very important in that scene, because he do the dancing with the young women, He gave them, some of them, you know, they're empowering young women. It's not necessarily going to, you know, to say, I did that and I did that. But it also, young people, they get empowered by that. And so, Susanna, I'm just going to ask her questions about how did she manage to empowering young women and how she be in consistency, how does she do it? Welcome to the show, Susanna. You're very important and the job you do. And a practical job you do, it's not a theory, it's a practical, and which is that what needed.
Thanks, Ajak. It's lovely to be here and on such a important day as International Women's Day. Thanks for having me and Mary along. It's great. And do you want me to answer that question about the... how I go about working with the young women? Is that
yes.
The question? Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay. So I think music and dance is a very powerful way to engage the young women. And we've always drawn on the music and dance from the African diaspora. So we use Afro beats, and we often use Congolese Kwasa Kwasa music, as well as traditional Tanzanian music and dance from my training when I was at the College of Arts in Tanzania. We also draw on some of the traditional music and dance from the girls' South Sudanese culture, and we combine a lot of those things and make sure the girls practice their public speaking and their leadership skills. So we work with all the different age groups, and we ask the older girls to mentor the younger ones so they become role models. And the younger ones are looking up to those older girls and seeing those older girls go out and perform at various festivals, at community events, and even sometimes just local schools. It doesn't have to be a big show, but sometimes they are big. The girls that I've been working with, including Mary here today, often will perform at such big events as the Premier Gala Dinner for Diversity Week at the Melbourne Convention Centre. And yeah, so, you know, sometimes it's just a small fete at a primary school, and sometimes it's a really large formal occasion, such as, yeah, celebrating Harmony Day. So their responsibilities, you know, increase over the years, you know, and we make sure they feel confident in their dance routines when they're performing, and they often do their own choreographies as well. So they build their skills in choreographing and understanding safe warm up and safe cool down, such as yoga in the class. But yeah, overall, it is very much a dance and cultural practice. And it's usually we try and do that as often as we can. It was weekly, but at the moment it's probably due to funding cuts. We don't have any funding. We tend to just try and meet when we can.
Susie, that is an amazing platform to be able to engage young people. And I saw it because I came a few times to see you guys, and it was just incredible to see Mary and others, older girls. They're not really old, but they're a little bit older girls, looking after the little one. And you're right, there is a different age. There is this little and there is in between. And it was so beautiful to see these girls, you know, the strength they get from the dancing and you teaching them. You could tell when they were doing, looking after the kid and the responsibility they took from that dancing. It is incredible. And that is the power of music and dance. And so to be able to hear that, you know, there is no money are not put into that kind of things. It's very heartening because that is actually works. It worked because you could see it. It's not like sitting in an office and go and say you're working in the community. It's out here, and I saw you doing that, and I really very appreciate that program because of what I could see in girls like Mary here today. She's very strong young woman, and we're going to hear. So that is the background about, you know, about the what you do with a young woman. But now, as International Women's Day, is so excited to have this growing, you know, strength pass on by the older women and to the younger women. And so what do you, Suzanne, what do you see that will change in the future, be able to empowering these young women working with you?
Sorry, can you ask that
I said,
again?
What would you like to see them doing in the future? What do you hope for them to be able to achieve in the future?
So we're always very focused on making sure when we meet up that the girls are going okay with their school and they're engaged at school. It's part of the check-in each, you know, when we have the program running. And, you know, it's really important that they feel, you know, safe at school and they are enjoying school and they're, you know, engaged enough to be able to complete their homework tasks and feel like they have a idea of their pathways, you know, vocational pathways or career pathways, and also like a part-time job. So Missouri Dance is always quite focused on the holistic approach with the classes. And so, for example, when, you know, Mary, and she might mention this later when she's being interviewed, like we would just sort of check in on those kind of things and they would say, oh, Susie, this week we've got a sack. And we talk about that and make sure, you know, they felt comfortable. So it's really important that journey and that career pathway and them forming their dreams, imagining what their future might hold and to be able to hold that space for them. So believing in their dreams is really important, and believing in themselves is just absolute paramount. And that's what we're working on. So it's not just about the dancing. It's about making sure the girls are feeling like, first of all, safe in their worlds and, you know, even in their home life. How's that going as well? And just checking in. And because there's a lot of, over the years, we've talked about this in our classes, there's a lot of, and my children are African Australian too, and they've experienced this as well. There's a lot of discrimination out there, and it happens in schools, it happens in sports programs, it happens all across the board, it happens in employment. And so racial profiling is a real issue, and there's, yeah, as I said, discrimination and racism out there. It's very, very prevalent. So We check in with all of that, and we try and address it in our own capacities. And so looking towards the future for, you know, Mary and all the other girls, like we're so proud that they've completed their VCE and they're now in university, they're studying their career pathways, and the younger ones are coming up, and we're just trying to do the same with them And I see, you know, Mary alongside all the other young, we refer to them as young leaders. I hope you don't mind me talking about the young leaders program. So Mary's a young leader, and you know, we're just so excited that she's achieving these, her goals, her academic goals and her vocational pursuits, so that she's creating that pathway for the younger South Sudanese Australian young women in her, you know, area where she lives, and they're seeing that pathway. So it's all about that. It's all about, as you said before as well, it's learning about self-respect and believing in yourself. And I think that's a really important part of what we're trying to achieve in our small way, you know, in our program, which is only a small part of each week, but I think it does definitely help.
Thank you, Suzanne. And I will come back to you. And at the moment, we're going to play another track from another powerful woman who is African-American. And everybody knows how she's struggling all over the years. She was refused, and in some one word, was refused to studying jazz because she was black. And she was absolutely, absolutely talented, and as you see, and she wrote this Goddamn Mississippi and Cinnamon, and she ended up disowned, and she had to run. She went to France and to Liberia, and when, you know, she was condemned and all that. And you listen to 3CR, and this is Ayak here with you and Ubuntu. And I am just with this amazing woman, with Suzanne and Mary. We're going to come back again to discuss the women issues. But before that, you're going to hear this amazing woman. She just said it all. We don't even have to explain any of this. And so, yeah, for women.
My skin is black. My arms are long. My back is strong, strong enough to take the pain inflicted again and again. What do they call me? My name is Aunt Sarah. Sarah, my skin is yellow, my hair is long, between two worlds, I do belong. My father was and white, he forced my mother late one night. What do they call me? My name is Sophronia. My name is Sophronia. Tan, mouth like wine. Whose little girl am I? Anyone who has money to buy. What do they call me? My name is Sweet Thing. My name is Sweet Thing.
Nina Simone is going to bring us, Four Women. That is the title of the song. He said, my back is strong enough to take the pain. And as a woman, as we're talking about international women today, we don't heard very much from the black women themselves who have to deal with a different thing. They have to deal with being a woman. They have to deal with being another race, and just it's too difficult to take. And that is when Nina someone sing. He said, "My back is pain. It's strong enough to take the pain, because we are, as you know, you all know." People who are listening, that the black women have a tough time. It's not to say that all women on the planet, they don't have a rough time, but the most difficult thing for a black woman to take that pain of being discriminated and being dealing with domestic violence and being dealing with being poor because they don't have access to anything really, and it's too much. And that is what Nina Simone just put it in one word, that my back is strong enough to take the pain, but there is so much you can take. And sometimes you see people lost it because it's too much. And having said that, this is an example like what, if you can remember the, Beatles song, that the woman is a nigger of the world. And so imagine double trouble, And so International Women Day, not every woman celebrated today because they are struggling, try to survive, and they can't even think what it means to be International Women Day. It's not like they're going to have a swim or they're going to have, even women in the Western world, they're not going to lay in a beach and say, oh, it's international, I'm celebrated. They don't celebrate. Women don't celebrate because they don't have a time. And even the women who have money don't have a time. And this is a very interesting discussion for us to be able to remind people There are, you know, I never try to exclude men out from this discussion. And because it's not really easy to be able to target one group of people and attack them, we know how it's like to be attacked. We, the black people, we know how to single out people. So I don't do that. I don't single men out of, you know, when I'm doing this kind of program. Men have to be a part of conversation as well to be able to go forward. And you can't, one party cannot win. And so that is what my philosophy, and that is my word for today. And I am just going to come back to an amazing Mary. She is here. She's a young woman. She got ahead. She got time ahead of her. And this is her world. And I just want to hear from her as a young woman, as a South Sudanese woman. I would like you, Mary, to tell us about the general, how it's like to be a woman in this time.
Thank you, Ajak, for having me. Being a South Sudanese woman in the Western world, I would say, is you get judged a lot growing up, and you learn that from a very young age. I would say about primary school, you learn that first. And you tend, in the way that I was brought up, you just tend to have to brush it off and let everything go by as it is, rather than speak on it. But being a young leader in the program has obviously given me the voice and the confidence to be able to speak up about it and say, no, this is wrong, this is not right, this is not how a woman should be treated. A woman should be treated as every other woman in the world. It shouldn't be based on race, it shouldn't be based on gender, it shouldn't be based on the amount of money you earn, the amount of people you know. It should just be about who you are. That's how I feel.
That is a very powerful word. And that's true. It's very difficult for people like you, Mary, in between the cultures, you know. You judge from your own community. You have to follow the traditional way of life. And in this world, you judge because you are of your color. And you're just in between. And it's just so, it's just hurtful. And I think is this discussion is a healing for some women. And to be as a, in back your background as a, in a culture you come from, what do you want to see change?
I want to see more women speaking up for themselves, because in the South Sudanese culture, it's more tended that males speak more for the women, and women aren't supposed to speak up against what they say. And in the future, I just want to see more women speaking up. More women gaining that confidence to say, no, I have a voice, let me use it. Don't let anyone else use your voice for them. You can speak on whatever you want to speak about yourself, than letting somebody else speak for you.
That's a very powerful word and words. So what would you like to see in the future? What would you love to see change? For you as a black young woman, and for the whole world, the women, what do you want to see change?
I genuinely want to see more young people speaking up about the issues that women face in this today's society, rather than letting the common brush it off, abide by everybody else. I believe that every young person has a voice as well, and they have a more broadened idea on how they want the world to be, on how the world is already, and how they can change the world. And it's very important that elders also listen to the young ones, because they have opinions as well, rather than brushing them off and thinking, you're not old enough to speak about this topic, you're not old enough to have an opinion. Because young people do have an opinion, and they have brightful ideas on how the world can change and how it can be a better place for everyone.
This is too very much into our community because we don't let the young people speak. They said if you speak, then it's disrespectful. And back home it's okay, but here it's like you don't look at people in the eyes. When I first came here, I hardly looked people in the eyes because they said it's disrespectful to be able to look. But then again, we get told, if you do that, the people think you're lying. And I just said, what is the difference? You know, what is about if you don't look at the person eyes? What kind of lying? Why you be lying? And they said, just a culture. And I just said, well, in a culture, it's a different culture. You could do that in your culture, but I'm not going to do it. This is how I taught. Not to be able to look at the people, stare people in the eyes, because it's disrespectful. And so it's very complicated. And the reason I ask you, because you are in a very difficult situation in between the world, two worlds, and you don't belong of any of them. You don't necessarily belong here because of your color discrimination. You're not really a South Sudanese a woman because you're in a totally different culture. All of you are getting stuck in between. So when you get together, what do you talk about? What do you discuss among yourself as a young people and from the different cultures and facing these difficulties between the two cultures caught up?
I would say we normally just talk about how we want to change things, how there's multiple ideas on ways to change, rather than focusing on the differences between each and every one of us, because in differences, there's unity. There's multiple different backgrounds, multiple different cultures, traditions that you can bring to the group. There's multiple different ideas on how you want to change things in the world. And it's just a great opportunity to be hearing from other cultures as well, because they have their own struggles and they have their own ideas on how they want to improve their culture, they want to improve their traditions, and as well as they're wanting to hear about how other cultures do their ways, how other cultures treat their young ones, treat the women, treat the kids, treat the elders. It's all very different.
It's all very different indeed. And it's a great answer. And people have challenges everywhere. All women in all, like I mentioned before, rich or poor, you know, women have challenges for a very long time. It's not a new thing. And it's now women are got opportunities to be able to talk and say, hang on, I'm hurting, don't do that. And as you might know, that is so, I don't want to go there, but there are women lost life ever. I can't, in the top of my head, but I think women lost, you know, it's not a 1 week woman lost, it'll be more. And it came to intolerance, you know. People are become impatient, and also because of the culture, the modern culture actually bring a lot of pressure. Even though we blame men, they are under a pressure as well. And when you know, it's a human thing. When you frustrating or something, you go for a weaker one. You go and condemn the weaker one, blame them, your problem, go and blame on them. That is what happened. It's not because the monsters running around want to harm people. It's just because the women are the easy target, like everybody else. Like we, in our world, as black people, we are easy target. Everyone have a problem. They're going to dump in on us. It's the same thing. And I think that's why I said it's really good for a man to get on board and be able to talk about about these issues because women can't solve it by themselves. We need men to be on the table. And so that is a really great answer. And I really wish you all the best with your art form and your studies. And as you know, the education is a power. It's the only power. And art, it's another great power. So you are in a good position. And I just want to come back to you, Suzanne, and then I will let you go. As a mother of the boys, you know, the African boys, what do you want to tell the boys when they grow up, you know, to be able to avoid that, this kind of thing, we discuss it. Because this is what people forget. They condemn the male, but actually, as a mother who bring up the children, they have a role to play. A society play a lot of role, though. They can, you know, your child cannot do anything at home, but when they get out, the influence of the fears is really difficult for parents. So how can you protect them from that and be able to actually to mentoring them and say, you know, respect mothers?
Yeah, it's a big question too. The boys, my boys, are, you know,
and I know they're lovely boys. Yeah, absolutely amazing.
They are great kids. But you know, it is important for all of us parents to do our best with, you know, engaging our young people, like our children, especially when it comes to boys. I let them know what's going on for me, and I try and take time to find out what's going on for them. So it's all about communication. It's all about expressing our, you know, hardships with each other and sharing. And, you know, often that can happen, you know, in the life that we live. You know, we're all so busy, all, you know, working and trying to balance the work and the family life balance. Everybody is, I know everyone's trying to do that because nowadays women are pretty much expected to work full time, like men, for us to be able to make ends meet. But I let them know how difficult that can be and that they need to pull their weight. So we are constantly talking about them trying to contribute in the household, which is, again, going back to respect. It's about saying, hey, I feel like I'm the one that's doing most of the work here. I'm saying that. And I say, what kind of, you know, contributions can you make? And, you know, even just sharing what's going on for me in, you know, women's milestones, like I'm going through menopause. So I let them know, because one day they will have a wife and all the milestones of a woman's life, including, you know, being a mother and then going through menopause. These are all real, real things that women go through, and they're not easy. They're not easy. And so I let them know. And so, yeah, I'm just trying my best to, you know, build that understanding for them and that compassion and that empathy for women and the huge roles that women have, so that and to get them practicing on how to also run a household, so that then one day if they do have a wife or a partner, that they will have that respect and have that self-respect as well as that and that, you know, shared love and respect for their partner. I hope that answers the question. But
absolutely, it's
not easy for the boys, you know, in this day and age either.
It's not easy.
No,
yeah.
Especially with all the different types of influences that they are watching on socials and TikToks. Like, you know, they have to learn how to filter a lot of the garbage as well and make those good choices and being around their peers and watching the way their peers are behaving and then saying, well, I'm not going to choose to behave in that way and go against the grain sometimes as well. So there's all that to, you know, think about. And for young African Australian boys, you know, it's again, as you talked about before, it's about trying to find your belonging in a very complex world and against the backdrop of all the things that are going on around us politically at the moment in Australia and in the world. I won't go into that now, but unpack that now. But you've got that huge backdrop of all the complexities that are going on for people of colour in the world, and especially what's going on locally as well is abhorrent, actually. And you know, our systems need to change. Our government needs to have deep dialogue with communities and young people and community leaders, and there needs to be a lot of change with equity and the dismantling of barriers, which include racist barriers in our society that have been built over, you know, these 300 years since colonialism came into Australia.
Look, you're absolutely right. It's a difficult topic. And you just mentioned there about a dialogue to the community in the community is a more powerful, because people say that the government cannot walk around with people, you know. It has to be coming from the community themselves. If they don't want to see that, the community need to listen to the people who are through pain. They have to stop to contribute, discrimination, because there is no one person you can go and pick on and say, apart from people who speak loud. And that the people are really like, because you know where is your enemies stand. But there is a subtle kind of the discrimination is really hard, and it's getting worse and worse. And to be able to do that, you just have to have a mental capacity to be able to do that. But then again, you are a human, you know. But you're absolutely right. And I just want you to say, if there's anything you want to add, we just say one few words. And
I just think that the government does need to do more in community engagement, especially with hurting communities who experience traumatic experiences, because they tend to just be there one day and leave the next and not be seen again until the next thing happens, as well as the media portraying South Sudanese community as dangerous, as a sort of bad influence on the rest of the world. That needs to be stopped immediately, and it needs to be improved on not focusing just solely on the Sudanese community. Anytime any war crimes happen, or anytime crimes happen, or anytime something bad happens in the community, they blame it straight to the South Sudanese. And and I see that a lot. I've been seeing that a lot over the years growing up, especially. And it hasn't changed. And young people have been speaking on it, but the government just don't want to listen. And in the future, I just want to see the government actually listening to the community rather than blaming everything on that specific community.
You're absolutely right. And guess what? There was a specific thing happening here. During an election, one of the teachers told me, you have to be prepared. Don't listen to the news because we're going to an election. And he, mm-hmm. and he said, it's a teacher at university, he said, don't listen to it. It's going to be very bad in the people like us.
Mm.
And so this is the media, they haven't got a responsibility. They don't care when it comes to people looks like us. They don't care. This is specifically there was an innocent incident happened in Tanet, where the young South Sudanese they were outside the shopping center. They were standing, and a guy just came. Someone I don't want to mention, and he just provoked them. Take the photos closer to their face. And when they're there, the police, of course, the police came in. Why you stand here?
Mm.
Try to be a friend, you know. Just and then the camera guy just ran and just put the camera in one of the young people's face, and he just said, "Why are you filming us?" And this guy was put his back in a tent and said in a fence. And said, why? We haven't done anything. And in a minute, a police jump into that one person and they throw him on the floor. And they all of them, they jump on his neck and he's, I don't know whether it was broken his teeth or his nose. There was blood everywhere. And then the guy just take a photo and he just ran. And they just said, oh, and police itself, you know, said, oh, you the camera person, you provoked the situation. But why were they there to begin with?
Yeah. A lot of the government working groups like police officers, which I've experienced, always tend to blame the South Sudanese community first on the scene rather than actually looking for the actual person who did it. And you can see this happening a lot around this community, a lot around the central city of Melbourne community. And you see them not just also in the central, all across Victoria, you see them always trying to follow the South Sudanese community to see if they're going to do something or to see if they have plans on doing something that they don't allow, that they don't like. So just so they can get them in trouble with the law. And it comes very easy to them, which is just disgusting to see, especially with the racial profiling. And I would say that a lot more Sudanese people, two or three Sudanese people have experienced discrimination from a police officer in Australia.
Yes, they do. They do. They yeah. It's easy because it's an easy target. We are an easy target.
Yeah.
First of all, they want to be seen doing something, and they're not going to do that with the people who have a voice like a white Australian.
Yeah.
They will not get away with it. So they calculate this victim very careful, and because they can get away with it, because they will not admit it. Is how many times there was an incident happened, how many times do they say something terrible and it get into the newspapers, and nobody could hold them accountable.
No one questions them about it at all.
No. Mm. And so that is that was a very interesting what you said, Susan. And you, Mary, you just nailed it because you wear the shoes. You wear those shoes.
Yes. Mm. Well said, Mary.
Yeah, well said.
Yes. And in addition to that, have we got enough time for me to say something?
Yeah, you can say something, yeah.
Just in addition to what Mary's saying, the system extends further than the police into the justice system. And there is actually a report coming out very soon through the South Sudanese Expert Working Group project, which has been working with the Department of Justice. And it's going to be looking at some serious issues with the misrepresentation, the overrepresentation of the South Sudanese Australian young people in the justice system and why that is. And it's looking at why that is. And one of the reasons that they've uncovered is that the young people in the South Sudanese Australian community have not been given the same opportunities as the broader non-African young people with diversion programs. So instead of them, you know, having the opportunity when they've done something wrong against the law and they've done some, you know,
silly things
yeah. and they've got caught up in, you know, like a carjacking or something where they've happened to be at an incident where there's been some youth, you know, violence have broken out. Instead of them getting the opportunity to go into a diversion community program, they're not given that opportunity. And they're trying to find a reason why, and they've asked the departments why this is, and they are yet to be able to give an answer. Mm. So this will be coming out in a report soon, and please all look out for it, but it's all going to be coming out. And this is the sort of thing that the government needs to sit down with the young people, with community leaders, with service providers, independent and non-government and government agencies, and work out a way that all the South Sudanese and African Australian youths have the same opportunities to attend those diversion programs in community rather than going off to detention and starting their life in detention, which then, you know, snowballs into a life of.
It has been amazing, you know, to International Women Day, and we generate issues that concerning Pacific community, and we don't have an opportunity to celebrate the Women Day. I just want to say happy International Women Day. Whatever you do outside there, just take care today. Look after yourself. And because if you don't take care of yourself, there is no one going to do it. And to be able to be stand again, you have to do that. And thank you so much, Mary, for your insightful, you know, words. And thank you, Susie, for coming and mentoring the young people through arts. Thanks you. And I'm going to get out with this amazing South Sudanese song. It was lovely to have you. Thank you. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, Ajak.
Thank you.